Now, if you have ever driven in heavy fog, you'll know that's really difficult. And it can become very disorientating. I mean, driving in this dense fog, you dim your lights, you wipe the windshield, and you drive as slowly as you can. But the fog just feels like it's just enveloping you. It just gets thicker and thicker and thicker around you, as if it's just going to push you into some dark spot. Now, the thing is, I think that sometimes there's another fog that comes into our lives. And when this fog comes into our lives, it tends to blur our vision. And tomorrow can feel like a million years away. And even those wonderful words of encouragement can often just feel like empty words. And I know by now you're thinking, so what's this kind of fog that you're talking about? What are you talking about? I'm talking about, my friends, what I would like to call the fog of a broken heart. And I think all of us can relate. If you've ever been abandoned, if you've ever been betrayed, if anyone has ever stuck that knife in your back and turned that knife, if you've ever been let down so badly, if you've ever stood at the open grave of a loved one, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the fog of a broken heart. Oh, and make no mistakes, it has wonderful companions. Depression. The moment this fog just comes around you and it feels like it's taking over, this can hit you so hard, especially in those moments of abandonment and betrayal. And you just go down into this depression. Discouragement, its other companion. But I did so well. I did everything right. I did all that I should have done. And why? And the fog just comes. Disillusionment. I never thought that this is the kind of stuff that would happen. The fog of the heart is a really, really difficult thing. It is the thing that blinds vision and breaks dreams. Now, the reason I start like this is because I want to take you to one of the most foggiest nights, if that's the correct way to say it, one of the foggiest nights in the whole of history. And you know about this. And here's the thing I want to ask you today. Remember the old saying, familiarity breeds contempt. Don't let this feel so familiar that you don't listen and you become contemptuous. Listen with new ears to an old story. Because the foggiest night that I want to take you to is a very dark night in a garden on the side of the Mount of Olives. A garden that's filled with old, gnarly, twisted olive trees. And if you look closely, you'll see a very lonely figure in that garden. He's lying on the ground and his face is filled with dirt and tears. If you look a little closer even, you might see the blood that's starting on his forehead. His eyes are wide with distress and with terror and with fear. This is Jesus. Jesus lying there in this dark fog, can't see past, asking the questions. The same Jesus that on Palm Sunday we celebrate riding triumphantly into Jerusalem and everyone is shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King who came in the name of our Lord. Hosanna for the King who will be the King like David. It's that same Jesus who right now the only thing he hears is the silence and maybe the snoring of the disciples who are asleep. Let's not make Palm Sunday something else than what it really is. It is the beginning of the end that'll lead to a dark Friday and a cross. And maybe that's something that we can learn here. Because the problem is, when we think of Jesus and we think of Jesus in the garden, we have this different picture. And I think we have the old paint masters to thank for that. Usually when we see pictures of Jesus in the garden, it's this very serene moment where he's kneeling at this rock and his hands are put together and there's this wonderful peace and calm coming from his face. And then there's this halo. I don't know who created halos. I don't know where that comes from. But in any case, this halo over his head and then the spotlight from heaven on him. This very calm, serene Jesus. But folks, let me tell you something. I don't know where that comes from, because that definitely is not the picture that the Bible paints of what happens and where Jesus is. So read with me from Mark chapter 14. I'm going to start at verse 32 and read to verse 42. And I'm reading from the New English Bible, the NEB. Just to give us a little different perspective on an old story that, as I said earlier, that we know so, so well. So it says, verse 32, when they reached a place called Gethsemane, he said to his disciples, that's Jesus, sit here while I pray. And he took Peter and James and John with him. Horror and dismay came over him, and he said to them, my heart is ready to break with grief. Stop here and stay awake. And then he went forward a little and threw himself on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, this hour might pass him by. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup away from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. He came back and found them asleep, and he said to Peter, asleep, Simon? Were you not able to keep awake for 1 hour? Stay awake, all of you, and pray that you may be spared the test, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And once more he went away and prayed, using the same words. On his return he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. The third time he came and said to them, still sleeping? Still taking your ease? Enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. Can I take you back to verse 33 and verse 34? Horror and dismay came over Jesus. And Jesus said to them, my heart is ready to break with grief. And then he went and he threw himself on the ground. Now tell me if that is this picture of serenity with a halo around his head. This is a picture of Jesus suffering as the suffering servant of God. This is Jesus agonizing in the deepest fog of the garden. This is Jesus in the fog of a broken heart. There is nothing serene about this. But it takes us into this moment where maybe if we see the real picture of Jesus, it helps us when the fog of a broken heart comes and just touches our whole life. Because here in the fog, we see him pray. Here in the fog, agonizing, broken-hearted, he kneels before his Father, throws himself on the ground. So here's the thing. Next time that fog tries to envelop you and overwhelm you. Remember Jesus in the garden. Next time you feel that no one understands you, go read this passage again and see the one who knows about the fog of the heart. Next time your foggy brain wants to tell you that no one cares, go visit Gethsemane. Next time the fog tries to tell you that God doesn't understand your pain, see God praying in the fog of the garden with a broken heart. And maybe when we see this picture, maybe we can deal a little better with our broken-hearted suffering, with our abandonments, with our betrayals, with the backstabbings that happen in our life that bring this fog around us. Because I think God is never closer to us than in this moment when God is broken-hearted and suffering in the garden. And if it's true that God has never been closer to us than in this moment when He is so broken and broken-hearted and distressed and overwhelmed, then shouldn't it be true also that when we struggle and when we suffer and when we go through these moments of foggy betrayals and abandonments, as Jesus would do in a moment when all those who were yelling, "Hosanna, Hosanna," would run away. His disciples would betray Him. His disciples would abandon Him. His disciples would stick that knife in His back. And those who were shouting, "Hosanna," would shout, "Crucify." But isn't it true that if He's closest to us in that moment of His brokenness and His suffering and His struggle there, that in our suffering, we are never closer to God than especially in those moments when we too are going through the fog of a broken heart. So on this day, when we shout Hosanna and we sing of the King, can I bring you this message of hope? That when you go through the fog of a broken heart, remember the one who is praying for you. And if you look closely, you'll see that in this fog, there is a hand that is stretched out to you. And if you look really close, you'll see that the hand that is stretched out is a hand that is pierced. It reminds us of the words that He said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe and trust Me." Because He's also there in the fog of a broken heart. Amen. Pray with me. Father God, thank You. Thank You for this moment where Jesus reminds us of who He was in His brokenness and in His suffering, that He was the closest to us that we will ever see in His humanity, in a heart that is broken, lying in the fog on the ground. So You understand, Lord Jesus, when sometimes we are overwhelmed by this. Help us in those moments when those companions of the fog just come at us to try and depress us and discourage us and just make us feel all kinds of things about ourselves. Help us to see You. Thank You for the hand that is stretched out, that we can hold. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.